Wonderful. Okay. Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and encouraged to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. And I'm excited for you to meet Corinne Strange here today. She's a mom of 5 sons, 11 grandchildren, and look at that amazing backyard. I am really thrilled to watch today. So Corinne, would you take a minute just to introduce yourself to us?
I'd be happy to, Christy. Thanks so much for this privilege. My name is Corinne Strange, as she said, and we live down in the heart of Dixie. We're in South Georgia. It's beautiful spring weather, so ladies, it's coming. Hang on.
Someday.
Someday. I am a mother and a mother-in-law and a grandmother, and am blessed to have 5 adult sons. Who are 4 of the 5 are married. We still have 1 wild card, but that's coming. And the result of their marriages has produced 11 gorgeous grandchildren, the oldest one being 12. And right now, they are dropping off food and making faces at us through the window. But we're staying isolated, and my husband and I have been married 50 years, and it's just a blessing right now to be where we are and experiencing God's presence and his love and the unity among our family in a way that we've never done before. So
wow, that's pretty cool.
Where we are.
I love it. And what does your husband do? Does he still work, or is he retired? Or
he does what I tell him. No, that's my next book. He farmed for 48 years. He finally surrendered a few years ago. And then he started a manufacturing business, and he actually produced the security towers that were used on the Border Patrol in places that are in high risk. So we're not doing that anymore. Now we are full-time grandparents and just take care of one another and spend time with the Lord. And reap some of the fruit of the seeds we sowed all these years.
Wow. So thinking back to the time when your 5 boys were all young, and there would be a time when you had most of them under the same roof, all of them under the same roof, whether it was during summer or when they were super little. Tell us how you kept on going those days. I think a lot of moms are feeling right now like this is tough being at home and not having a lot to do. I mean, we're used to having indoor playgrounds and all kinds of fun, you know, trampoline parks and so many places to go. But tell us about life as a mom of 5 boys, you know, 40 years ago.
I was thinking this morning, actually, Christy, that this is almost deja vu, because when our boys were growing up, we didn't have personal computers. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have anything but a payphone at the school, or eventually we had, you know, car phones, that type of thing. But when they were home, they were here, and the only diversion really was TV. They could, you know, they had TV shows and all of that thing, but they made their own fun. And because we were blessed enough to live here and live in the country, and my husband farmed, he took them with him a lot. They spent many hours out following their dad around and doing the things that guys like to do. They were very outdoorsy. They had a lot of skirmishes between them that now I found out about, things that I didn't know they did. And it was this is very much what it was like. And during that time, that's when I actually started figuring out how to survive. And I had no brothers or sisters myself. My husband had no brothers or sisters. So our moms weren't a whole lot of help, because they didn't know what to do with a whole bunch of siblings either. But I started journaling and keeping an account of what my day was like. I would write down the good, bad, and the ugly. And that was my go-to. My journal was really my mentor mom. And one reason I think what you're doing right now is such a blessing is because what I've discovered over the years is, now that I taught school for a while, and until our boys all graduated, and once that was over, a new phase of life entered, and I started meeting with a lot of young moms. We'd meet formally and informally. We'd get together at a coffee shop, or I'd see somebody in the gym, and I'd have somebody come up and say, aren't you the one with all those boys? And I would say, I think I'm the one. Yes. And then questions would ensue. Well, what do you do when so-and-so, and is it normal for him to fight? And, you know, this, that. And so as time went on, I started to realize that mothers, regardless of the generation we're in, we face the same challenges. We want to be good moms. We want our children to grow up and respect us, and we want them to actually like one another.
Yes.
And we get tired, and we get discouraged, and we compare ourselves to each other, and we beat ourselves up over the things we didn't do. We should ourselves to death. I should have so-and-so. I should have done this. Should have said that. And we just, it's so much discouragement that comes against us as moms. What I started to realize is as I met with these young mothers, I needed to tell them I've been there. I really have been there, and I have a journal to prove it. This is what happened to me that day. This is what life looked like. And I found that this met such a need across the connections that I came across, the girls I used to teach in high school, or new friends, or just, they came from everywhere. Just moms need encouragement. So I forgot the question. I got off on a rabbit trail here. But as far as coping with boys, back to that, we tried to do a number of things. We tried a lot of things that worked, some things that didn't. We taught them the value of working. We challenged them. And boys, if you have boys, and I know you do, Christy, with your three wonderful sons, give them a challenge. Tell them, don't pick those groceries up now. Let your brother do it, because that's going to be too heavy. Ah, are you kidding? They will risk a hernia to get it done. So whatever. Or I don't think you can finish mopping that kitchen floor by the time that we need to do so-and-so. So we'll get back to it later, because I don't know whether you're quite fast enough. Oh my gosh. They will jump on the mop and go for it. You know, just throw out those challenges. And we taught our boys the value of working. And now that they're adults, they each have their own businesses. Wow. They are very entrepreneurial, and that's just very, very diverse. We have everybody from a surveyor to a exotic car salesman. I mean, we're like seriously diverse. But just teaching them the value and the appreciation for getting a job done and doing it well. And then one important thing, I'm saving the most important thing to the last, but okay. One important thing I think I did was spend individual time with each son. Mm. And this is where I think we can address what's going on right now, mm-hmm. with the situation we're in, because I know mothers, oh my word, I see our daughter-in-law who lives across the highway from us with four children under eight. Oh. And they're challenging to keep her energy up and to keep them entertained and help them get along with each other. You know, there's a challenge ahead, and especially for moms that have not been accustomed to having them at home all the time. Mm-hmm. Because I remember the days that school would be out. It took me about 9 months to get in a routine, you know, and everything was good. They had after school sports, and we were on a little regular trajectory here. And then school was out, and all of a sudden I had a house full of hungry, dirty boys that needed some entertainment. So I know how it feels. And in this last, you know, few weeks that we've been under the constraints that we're under, mothers are suddenly trying to figure out what to do with children under feet every day. And my heart breaks for so many that don't have the freedom to let them get out and run around. But one thing I will stress that I think is so important, if mothers will some way, somehow arrange to have personal one-on-one time with each child as frequently as it's possible, maybe once a day, And we're not talking hours and hours, but even 30 minutes. Literally set the timer on the oven and tell the other children, your time's coming, and take that personal time. To me, that was critical in our relationship with our sons, which is why I think we are as close as we are now. Hmm. And just while we're on the subject of where we are, our life right now is my husband and I are basically sequestered in this wonderful piece of heaven that God lets us live on. Three of the sons live in Atlanta. Two of them are here on the property, not in the house with us, but staying close by. Mm-hmm. And we see them from a distance. They pick up groceries for us and this and that. But the email chain, the text stream, and the Zoom that we share as a family is so filled with, of course, it has its share of jokes, and everybody has to do their little cute stuff. But, I mean, you get the brothers together, and there's going to be competition.
Yeah.
But the prayers, the scriptures that they've shared with each other, the little sermonettes that they put out, has blessed my heart. Really blessed my heart.
So is that something that you intentionally nurtured when they were little, like the yes. prayers and scripture reading? How did you do that, like practically, okay. with that many kids and going to school?
This is the most important question, because as I was praying this morning when I took a shower, I thought, what would Jesus want me to share with these sweet moms? And what I heard is, I've never heard this before this way. I heard the Lord speak to my spirit and just said, share the Trinity. Huh. I thought, okay, what does that mean? And I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, we talk to children about God, where they know who God is, they know he's the creator and so forth. We talk to them about Jesus. They know he died on the cross. They know he rose and all of that. But I don't think we do a really good job of introducing them to the Holy Spirit. Hmm. Because that is our lifeline. Or I should say, he is our lifeline. Because that is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And he resides in us. And I feel that one thing we did with our sons, it just was a beautiful plan of God, that when our boys were young, there was a lot of, it was during those days when there was a lot of emphasis on, you know, the Holy Spirit and who he was, and sort of a wave of teaching on some good, some not so good. But anyway, we did encourage our boys to realize that they have the spirit of God himself, of Jesus himself, living inside, and he will speak to them, and he will teach them all things. He will give them wisdom. He will give them impressions. And when our boys were young, we didn't have a formal. I've had over and over people say, well, how did you do your daily devotionals? Are you kidding me? I couldn't even get them to sit still to listen to they were hard to contain.
It was like, good to know.
Yep. I mean, it would have been easier to teach cats to tap dance and to try to get them to sit and listen. Just as you've addressed this many times about, and what you've suggested is so good about having children draw pictures or do something with their hands while you're trying to teach the gospel to them. But anyway, we did teach them as best we could to listen to the voice of the Lord. And if they think they are hearing something, test it. One time, I'll tell you really quickly, a son he told me that we needed to go up to the dog pen and check. He was about, I don't know, five or six. I'm not sure. He was young. He said, we need to go check the dog pen. And it was at night. And for some reason, his dad was not in the house. And I thought, I don't want to go check the dog pen. It's dark out there and you got to walk and this and that. But he was insistent, Mom, we need to go check the dog pen. Well, when we got there, there was a dog that had tried to jump over the fence. It was hanging by its collar. Well, to me, this was such a teachable moment, because we told him that was the Holy Spirit. And when you hear that voice, learn to recognize it. So And in this time right now that we're in, where so many families are separated and children can't see their parents and there's a lot of distance and concern and so forth, if we all have the assurance that we're all hearing from the same spirit and we can trust that voice, then we can trust one another and our wisdom that we feel impressed to say to one another and so on. So anyway, present the Trinity. Present all three and teach them how to rely on God's voice. And how to
I love that because it's really just in the moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the Holy Spirit then.
That's right.
Reminding that's right. You
do and that that's thing, just, or, yeah. That's right. And we just treated it as the way you operate. This was our MO. This is what you do. You have a problem or you do this and that. Well, I don't know. Let's pray about it. Let's just stop right now and pray about it. And it became a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Rather than a formal, okay, everybody sit down, shut up, I'm about to read the Bible to you.
Yeah.
Somehow that didn't seem to work.
That's funny. I love how every family's a little bit different though, because for my family, at least on most mornings that we are, I don't tell them to shut up, but
well, no,
we do a short reading together. Pardon?
I said scratch that from the record.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I have said that to people too, right? Let's not tell our kids to sit down and shut up, right? Like we don't want them to be miserable about it. So if it's not working, then we do something else, something more flexible, right? So yeah, I love that. And it's very cool because you've been able to see the fruit of that in your son's lives. So
right.
Obviously.
And now we see it in the grandchildren and it's beautiful. Yeah. They pray and it's a part of their life. And that's not to discount the formal teaching that they need to have as well. Don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is do both. Model it, incorporate it into your daily life, and then read those wonderful Bible readings and wonderful books like the ones you've written and so many other good teaching books that tell them about the Lord, because we do that too.
Yeah, for sure. I had another question for you. Mm-hmm. How about your husband? Can you tell us a little bit about how he interacted with the boys on kind of a faith level when they were younger?
I think pretty much the same way. He would say, if he were sitting here beside me, actually he's inside praying while I'm doing this.
Wow.
But he would say that he didn't spend as much time as he would like to have. But I disagree with that because he modeled what a godly man should be. He showed them how to love me, and he took personal time with all the boys. I don't think we ever missed, unless it was maybe two for reasons that, you know, we couldn't avoid. I don't think we ever missed a ball game that any of them played in, and they played all sports. We were with them. Our house was sort of a Grand Central Station. We had, you know, their friends liked to come out here because a lot of their friends lived in town. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a city, but they lived in the town. But they loved to do the outdoor things. They liked to get out and ride four-wheelers and shoot guns and do the things that boys like to do. And my husband would just be a part of that. But he modeled a very strong male leadership in our home. As he's gotten older and has more time, the boys would say, now he's preaching to them. They kid him about that because they're like, Dad, we've heard this all our lives. You listen to us. We'll preach back to you. But it's neat. But he was very much involved in all ways. He prayed with them. We prayed, as I said, for any need that they had, whether it was physical healing to a relationship that they had at school or to a girlfriend that just treated them, you know, badly, or anything. And he was very much a part of that scene.
That's beautiful. I love that teamwork aspect. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when your kids were younger, you did mention that you were doing some journaling. Is that kind of how you stayed connected to God when your kids were young? And you also said that you were teaching for quite a while too. So you were pretty busy.
Busier now than I realized. Looking back, I think I really don't know how I made it through those days, but I did. I journaled and That was my way of coping. And I would journal exactly what I was feeling at the time, regardless if it was pleasant or unpleasant. I would put that down. And as I go back now and look through some of those journals, I see how the Lord worked. I see how he had a breadcrumb trail and I was following it. He was those things that were so insurmountable to me when the boys were young. And I thought, how in the world will I ever get past this challenge? How will I teach these boys to love one another? How will I teach these boys to follow the Lord and not get off path when they go to college and all of these things? But I see how the Lord, none of those things happened. I'm not saying I have perfect children any more than I was a perfect mother, but they stayed the course. They didn't rebel and they didn't go crazy when they had freedom. And we allowed them a lot of freedom. We didn't have curfews. We didn't have things that demanded that we police them, because they seemed, even though they, you know, squabbled among themselves and they had the typical brother sibling, you know, conflicts, I feel that they had a respect for us as their parents, and have, over the years, their relationship with each other has deepened. And I love when, even listening to them on phone conversations, as grown men, they always say, I love you, to each other. Oh. When they get off the phone. So, and now the four that have wives already are, they just add to the beauty of what the whole family is about. And I have the best daughters-in-law in the universe, so.
Wow.
I know.
That's quite a gift.
It is a gift. It really is.
So you mentioned this a couple times, brothers squabbling, fighting, children do that. And there's probably a lot of that happening right now as people are feeling a little cooped up. Do you have anything that particularly worked with your boys when they were fighting? Did you have words that you would say to them, or how would you help them through this?
Well, very interesting that you asked that. And if we had rehearsed it, this would probably have been one of the things that I would say, be sure and ask me so-and-so.
Oh.
when I did take some of my journal entries and put it into a book form, I asked the boys at the end of the story or the end of the book to write two or three pages of anything they wanted to write. And they said, well, what do you want? I said, no, I'm serious. Anything. I'm not giving you any guidelines. The two younger sons, the fourth and the fifth son, each wrote, not knowing what anybody else had written, they each wrote about the same incident that took place when they were in one of their knockdown, drag out, take no prisoners basketball games. The two of them, just the two.
Yep.
And they described almost verbatim what happened. As they said, they were two scrappy little boys that were determined. They were probably 10 and 12 years old at this time. And their dad was watching them in this little skirmish. He was upstairs looking down from a window at the basketball court in our backyard and saw what was going on. And in the midst of all their fist throwing and their anger, fury, they said, with each other, he called them upstairs and they were both like, okay, so we're going to get our punishment and then it'll all be over and then we'll start again tomorrow. But instead, they each said that he did the most startling thing that they've ever had happen to them. He said, first he told them that they should love and honor one another because they were in this thing together for life. Then he said, I want you to apologize to each other, and I want you to tell one another you love each other. And they said, they just stood there dumbfounded, like, you've got to be kidding me. I have to tell this guy I love him. And then, to add even more emphasis, he said, now I want you to hug one another.
Oh.
And they both said that this changed their life. But my point is, their dad heard from the Lord. He didn't know what to do either. We had seen them, and they tell me I didn't see their real fights. I didn't realize that they actually were so, you know, pugilistic, but when he saw this going on, the Lord just spoke and said, don't react with the same way they're acting, but teach them that it's better to forgive and accept, ask forgiveness, accept forgiveness, and restore the love relationship. And both of them cited that as a changing point in their life.
Wow.
So that was just one example. And I can't say for every parent in the world, now go out and do the same thing, it's going to work. I'm just saying, let the Lord tell you what those boys need at that moment. Because sometimes their frustration, just like ours, we're expressing something that's going on inside, and we just don't know how to express it.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful advice. That's what I found, that when I am really frustrated with them, with some the way they're behaving, and I talk to God about it, then he gives me these ideas that mm-hmm. actually work.
Right. I think you hit the key right there for us mm-hmm. to hear from the Lord, because mm-hmm. we don't know what to do. We don't know how to solve these human problems. So, right.
Yeah. So the other day I was just fed up with my oldest, and he was being really incredibly selfish and not even recognizing it. And I had sent him to his room, and I was like, I'll come and talk to you when I'm calm, because right now I'm just angry.
Right.
And I was praying about it and thinking, like, how can I even help him understand this is selfishness? And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to write a story. Mm-hmm. I just felt like God was like, write this story. So I went over to my computer. I started writing out the story about these two warthog brothers.
Good for you.
But then I didn't finish the story. I just left it at the end, kind of at like the climax. And I said, I brought it to him, and then I showed him some verses from Philippians that talk about, you know, do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And then that, you know, being Christ-like mm-hmm. of verses. Right. And then I read the story to him, and I read the verses to him. And then I just said, look, I need you to write the end of the story. What do you think is going to happen here? And then after he wrote the end of the story, then we talked about how this applied to his relationship with his brothers. And I thought, I never would have thought of that if God had given me that. Like, I'm sure that doesn't work for everybody. It's not going to work for every situation. I'm not going to have time to write a story every time my kids fight. Yeah. But in that time, it was great. And I think it's probably something he'll remember too.
One more thing that I just came to my mind. I think I love what you just said. I have a friend who has a boy and a girl, and in their growing up, she shared one time that they were not getting along, and the son, I think it was, said he needed to pray, and she said, okay, and his prayer was, Lord, I don't love my sister. I don't even like her. I can't stand her. I don't want her in the same room. Would you please help me? Help me to like this person and show me how to do this. So, you know, that's just a possibility. But sometimes we have to be honest. There are people we don't like, and we don't want to be around them. But if we have to be, I think what you and I both saying, in all of the tension, there's undoubtedly all kinds of stress and tension that has never been realized before in so many homes. And I think that if we just realize, wait, stop, there's nothing to hurry to get to. You're not going to be late for practice.
True.
You're not going to have to, you know, be the last one in line at such and such a place. Just stop and listen for the voice of the Spirit to know what to do in this situation. And I hope this will change relationships that, are going to be forever changed. That's my prayer in all of this, that families are not going to be the same as they used to be.
Yeah, in good ways.
In good ways. Yes, I just pray that when it's all said and done, that we'll look back and we'll say, as hard as that was, it changed us for good. And then I think God's kingdom will be advanced on this earth. That's Amen. My prayer.
Yeah, I agree. Right in agreement. Yes. Is there any last things that you'd like to share with us? Usually I try to tie up the interviews in about a half an hour. So if there's anything else you wanted to share that you were like, I can't forget to say that, now is your time.
Now's my time. Well, as I said, the two things that I felt that the Lord, just to reiterate, that I felt the Lord wanted me to say was to teach them reliance on the Holy Spirit, to realize that He is given to us to help us live this life. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll eternally be connected through Him. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was very practical. He said, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. Even if you're a mom and even if you're stressed to the max, I'm going to be with you. And He obviously is not where we can see Him. And so as he said in the book of Joel, He's poured out His Spirit to us. It's what He's given us to deal with life. So introduce your children to that concept so that they know that they have an advocate and they have a teacher and they have a presence with them forever. And then spend that individual time with them as however, set the timer on the stove, do whatever it takes, because the message I think that you want to convey to those children individually is, I love you because I love you and I want to get to know you better. And you might be thinking, you're driving me slap up the wall and I'm very frustrated, but I love you and I want to know who you are. And that, I believe, will open up communication that gives that child a safe place to feel that his mom does love him and just wants to invest time with him. And of course, dads too. But I think also separating them from the rest of their siblings is important. Just put a little, be in a separate room or a separate corner if mm-hmm. you have to be, and just let them know that's their personal mm-hmm. time.
I love that. Beautiful. I'm going to go do that today. And now, Corinne, you have a blog and a book. Can you tell us just briefly about them?
I will. I'll tell you quickly. I'm actually in the process of revising the book, but it's called Hello, Young Mothers. I don't know if you can see it. It might be backwards on your screen.
No, it's perfect.
Okay. And it's just basically a compilation of some journal entries and then my comments about what was going on. But it is the raw version of what my life was like when the boys were little. And what we're going through right now has done a little bit of a setback on the revision, but I am going to add a little update. I wrote it 5 years ago, so mm-hmm. we'll add more. We've had three more grandchildren and another daughter-in-law. So anyway, that's it. But it's Hello Young Mothers. Mm-hmm. They can get it wherever, Amazon. And then I have a blog that I'm not really consistent with it, but I do try. And it's just my name. It's Careen, Careen, Strange, Strange.com.
Perfect.
And it'll tell you everything you need to know.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. I've really enjoyed hearing you and also hearing your birds. It is such a relief. Thank you for doing this outside.
Rain is coming. Thank you, Christy. God bless you for your wonderful.